Hello, and welcome to Belonging Before Believing, a podcast where we answer your questions about the church from the inside. What's up, Pat?
Hey, dude. I knew you were going to say that.
What? Say it the way it's supposed to be said? Perfectly, with remarkable inflection?
Just because I was reading it on your computer as you were saying it. Well, actually, I can't quite see that far. But I knew what it said, because I've heard it enough.
When I was in high school.
Not that I've memorized it, because I haven't said it right once.
You could memorize it so easily. I think you're taking mental effort to not memorize it intentionally.
That.
To get under my skin a little bit.
It could be a thing.
Yeah, it could be a thing. When I was in high school, there was a girl. Her mom said that I should be a DJ at a jazz music or a jazz radio station.
That's so random.
I know.
It was kind of. You know what? Okay. Honestly, when I have listened to a couple of our episodes, and you have a much better radio voice than I do, but what I love is that our voices are so different that anybody who listens is going to know when I'm talking, and they're going to know when you're talking.
Right.
Because there's so many podcasts out there where the guys sound so similar. It takes you like 13 episodes, 19 episodes to finally figure out who's who. You don't have that problem with us.
I have had somebody say, Pat does not look like what I expected him to look like.
Handsome? Rugged?
Yeah, his voice doesn't sound like that at all.
I don't have a handsome voice.
Or maybe it's the opposite. Maybe you have a great voice.
No, I do not have a handsome voice. My voice is nasally and high-pitched, and I speak from my throat instead of my chest. And I've tried to fix that.
I don't even know, dude. I don't even know how to speak from my throat instead of my chest.
No, the opposite. Like, I speak from my throat instead of my... You think you speak from your chest? Is that what you're saying?
I guess. I don't know. What? Now I'm self-conscious. I don't know how
to
speak.
Be. Yeah, don't talk. I'll just talk this whole episode.
All right.
You sit over there and be self-conscious, you little sweetheart.
I don't have a lot to contribute to this episode.
Oh, you totally do. This is a great one.
No, because this question, I'm not very far removed from it like you are.
Oh, no. What comes around goes around.
Oh, hey, guys. Before we get into this question, though, I wanted to remind you that we're going to run out of questions eventually. So if you're listening to this, if you're somebody who's subscribed and you haven't asked a question yet, or maybe you have, ask another one. I know you got more in you. Ask a question. Shoot us an email, belongingbeforebelieving@sovereignjoy.org. Hit us up on Instagram. You can shoot us a DM. That's also belongingbeforebelieving. On Twitter, it is @belong.
Letter B.
For?
Believe.
Belief. Belong. Letter B. Number 4. Belief. Please hit us up. Please ask us some questions.
We have quite a few, but we definitely need more and want more.
Yeah, and you know, some of these questions I don't want to answer. So we'll get to ask some better ones. No, the reality is that there are some that are some doozies.
Dude, and let's be honest. Some of these guys are angry when they ask us some questions. Yes, I think some of these questions were asked in anger and hostility, and I don't think I'm reading too much into it. And we're going to get to them. Don't get me wrong. We're not going to push those off, but definitely there's a few that were asked in the spirit of antagonism.
You know what? Bring it.
Yeah. I'm not opposed to that.
All kidding aside, I don't shrink from it.
We don't shrink from it.
I got nothing to hide. I'm not worried about any of these questions. Let her rip.
Not only that, but you know what? What we want to do is we want to hit those questions head on with love and grace and charity and show this is the way Christians are supposed to act. We know. So many of you out there have had a bunch of Christians or one Christian maybe even treat you so bad that it's just put you off. Put a bad taste in your mouth, whatever metaphor you want to use. And we want to show you that's not only not everybody, but it's not typical.
Yeah, that's great. But I feel like we're getting off topic here.
We haven't even started a topic.
No, I was getting there, and I'm the one who got us sidetracked. But let's get back to the subject at hand.
Let's
you're
get back
old.
To the, you
I'm young.
Got us
that's the important.
Sidetracked. You got your. I know you're so distracted with shiny things. You and your youth. Your little the Twitter.
Call me a millennial. I dare you.
Oh, I didn't even start a word with M.
You were thinking it.
I wasn't.
Question mark.
Okay, honestly, I wasn't thinking that. I was trying to think of anything else to say besides that.
We could do this all day. Okay.
Well, we will. This question just leads right into it.
It really does. So the question is, what do you wish you knew about God as a 20-year-old that you know now?
Okay, first thing that I want to say is that because I was 20, I'm not really sure what that would change.
Right. Like you would listen to yourself from the future.
Right. Plus, all right, I got saved when I was about 20 and a half in 1993. Just let everybody do the math there for a second and they can figure out how old I am. So.
Ew.
Nobody wants to listen to me anymore, suddenly. But, okay, so there was a large portion of my 20, the year 20, where I wasn't even saved. So, I know that's not what he's saying, but I just wanted to throw that out there and qualify it, because I figure, like, clarity is good. What would I want to know? Let's just go back and forth. How about one, and then one, and then one, and then one? How does that sound?
Okay.
Okay, so do you want me to go first?
Sure.
Okay. So I think the first thing I would want to know about God, right?
Yes.
Is that what it says?
Yes. Okay. Oh, because there's all kinds of things. If they didn't narrow it down, I wouldn't know where to begin. Yes, about God.
Okay, all right. So the first thing I would want to know about God in my 20s that I know now would probably be that I don't need to get rid of all my secular music. Secular means all the music that isn't Christian. So when I first became a Christian, somebody said or somebody implied along the way that you can't be a Christian unless you listen to only Christian music. And that stuck, or I thought, oh, they must know better. I don't remember exactly my mindset, but I remember driving up the San Bernardino Mountains with my big, fat, huge CD binder. You remember those things?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, good. Good. I'm so glad you said, oh, yeah.
Okay, I was one of those guys where I was just clinging to hard copies of things way longer than I should have.
Right. Well, I was. Okay. Well, there were no digital copies of things back then. And I remember going up the hills and just flinging them all off the cliff. Every single one. Like one of those ones that's like, you know, 200 CDs or whatever. And just flinging them all off.
Probably sore the next day.
No, I was 20.
Some rotator cuff issues.
Not at all. I felt amazing, and I thought I was so spiritual, and I was so cocky, and so stupid. But I wish I had known listening to secular music in no way, shape, or form has any bearing upon my holiness and my spirituality. Because there was a lot of things that right now I would love to go back and re-listen to that I had flung off of the San Bernardino Mountains.
The good news is it's probably on Spotify.
Thanks.
Are you going to be the like me, cling to, you want to look at the, flip through the album art? That was the excuse I gave Rachel when she was trying to get me to throw them away. See, this is my point. I had the CD books.
Your wife's a legalist?
What?
She doesn't listen to this.
Some.
No.
She's like on episode 2 right now, but she'll get there. Maybe. I don't know. Anyway. No. I wanted to keep, I made every excuse to hang on to that CD book. And you make like, oh, well, that's the only option I had. Well, yeah, that's the only option I had when I bought all those CDs. But I'm talking like 2012, 2013, and I don't even own a CD player anymore. And I'm like, no, I got to keep them. So I'm the opposite of you.
Your truck doesn't have a CD player?
I guess it does.
It does, doesn't it? I think it does.
Well, the car I was driving when I finally like let go, I don't think it did. I think it was like cassette and like radio.
Oh, okay. This was a long time before that.
Yeah. Eight tracks.
I don't remember having... I don't remember... Okay.
I had an 8-track in my bug.
My parents owned 8-tracks because our stereo system in the front room had a record player, an 8-track player, and a cassette player. And I had used the auxiliary to hook my CD player up in. So I could listen to pretty much anything I wanted, although I don't remember listening to any 8-tracks. I had a lot of vinyl, had a lot of cassette tapes, and a lot of CDs. But stupid me, 20-year-old me, was told, oh, secular music is bad. Although it was way more holier than I made that just sound. And I bought it, hook, line, and sinker, and I got rid of all of it. And I wish I knew that.
This is a surprisingly difficult question for me.
Because you're so holy.
No, the opposite.
You don't know the Lord any better now than you did then.
Oh, my. No, like the opposite. When I think back, it's just like, what did I know? Like, what did, like, I wouldn't even know where to begin. It's like, I just think, like, yeah, okay, I didn't,
so you're saying,
I didn't know anything.
Okay.
So,
in the midst of your stuttering, let me read into it.
Oh,
you're saying that your relationship with the Lord now is so completely different that you don't even know where to begin.
No, it's not that.
No, I'm not trying to be cynical. I'm really saying, is that what you're saying?
No, I guess I'm just thinking like, and I don't want to make it sound like I was like a brand new Christian at 20. Like, all right.
No, I was a brand new Christian when I was 20.
I know, which is why it's funny that you have like a quicker answer than I do. So I'll just spit out my first answer.
Because I miss my music.
I'll spit out my first answer, which is more serious than yours, I guess. And you're going to point at me for bringing it down too early or whatever. But that I would tell 20-year-old me that you're very cute. And all of this effort. No, really. Like, good on you for trying so stinking hard, but God is not impressed by your piety. That's what I would tell 20-year-old me. And, you know...
But you would start by telling yourself how cute you were.
In a patronizing way. Like, you know, I see what you're up to. We all get a real good kick out of it. And dang it, if you're not sweet.
But, I just want to revisit that one more time.
No, it's like...
You would tell yourself how cute you were.
That's my way. We're not in the South. I can't say bless your heart.
You can say it.
Well, it doesn't carry. It's just not the same.
Okay. All right. Seriously,
though. And, you know, we've talked about this very recently, and I feel like very often, that there is a tension between, you know, how overwhelming and just inexhaustible grace is. But how at the same time, we are called to be holy. We are called to be imitators of Christ. We are, you know, called to be obedient. And finding the balance between the two. And so not for a minute do I want to be misunderstood as saying like, oh, like you're covered by grace. Go literally, like, go do whatever the hell you want. I don't want to be accused of that. But at the same time, knowing that back then it definitely felt like there was a lot of work that I had to do. Like I, you know, I'm a mess and I gotta, you know, make a ton of improvements. I gotta spruce up my life and I gotta fix this and I gotta study this Bible and I gotta memorize all this stuff and I gotta get a really good grasp on the finer points of theology and blah, 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 blah. And I just felt like I had a ton of work to do. And the reality is the older I get, the more I realize I have just as much, quote unquote, work to do as I ever have. It's like when, you know, you hear some, the older Christians tell you that, you know, the further along you get, the more you end up repenting, you know? And so just thinking back, it's just like, oh, dude, God is not impressed by you, your piety here, which the way that you glorify God is, sure, by being obedient. But if you really want to glorify God, show people how dependent you are. Show people how great he is and how it just makes up for all of your insufficiencies. It's just an attitudes change. Just much more humility. Yeah, that's what I would try to tell 20-year-old Brian, because 20-year-old Brian felt like he was standing at like the bottom of this mountain that he had to climb.
I would go back and tell myself that the popular evangelical concept of a premillennial pre-trib rapture is bunk. That this whole left behind thing that has become such a huge deal with, you know, 19 books or whatever that are out there, movies made about it, all this is just not what the book of Revelation teaches. And the reason is because I was so caught up in making sure I understood every single little detail that I could graph it out.
I was going to say, did you have charts?
Oh, dude, I still have charts. I have books and I have charts, and I kind of keep them now just to look back and go, doggone, what in the world was I thinking? Well, what I was thinking is what I was taught. And I was taught that this is exactly the way things are going to go down and be, and there's going to be, you know, the mark of the beast, so don't get a chip implanted in your hand, and you know,
no cell phones.
That the scorpions that sting you in chapter 12 or 11 or whichever it is there in Revelation are the black helicopters that the government has, and the UN is secretly trying to bring this one world government, and they're going to be ushered in by the Antichrist. And he's going to be this charismatic political leader with a patch over his eye, and you know, I mean,
did it come with a tinfoil hat?
It did not. These books should have. It should have. Have I ever showed you those books?
I think some.
Well, needless to say, they're out there, and I think that Christianity has gotten a lot of ridicule, especially in the last few years, because of that guy, Harold Camping, who made the big old deal about the rapture coming and put billboards all over the place. And you know, a lot of secular people picked up on that and said, oh, it's rapture day. And then nothing happened on that day. Of course, nothing happened on that day, because Jesus said, no one knows the day or the hour, not even Harold Camping.
My favorite thing about those days are like the concessions.
You mean like they stood up, like buy your rapture cake?
No.
Buy your rapture tacos? That concessions? Because I would have went to those. Churro. I want a rapture churro.
That took me way too long to catch up with you. No, where they interview them the next day when nothing happens. Like, well, I must have forgot to carry the one. And 3 years, 8 months, and 14 days. That's the new day, so get ready. That book I remember.
Stop it, people.
That book I remember is all of the predictions that people have made for the end of the world.
Dude, I was so into that crap until Y2K happened. And you know what? So some of the people who listen to this will probably not have much of an idea of it. But when I was in the early 90s and mid-90s, when I'd become a Christian, it was huge, and people talked about it all the time, and you got to stockpile the oats, and you got to get the wheat, and, you know, you got
very high carb.
You got to make sure you're going to make it through this thing, because the whole world's going to collapse. And you know what? Nothing happened except one Blockbuster subscriber had a like $8,000 bill or something.
It was like one dude.
And it was just so absurd. And that makes Christians look stupid. And I felt so stupid because I believed all that. And I look back now and I realize, you know what? I was just taught bad. And now I understand that better. And I would go back and teach my 20-year-old self that.
So I got another one.
Okay.
I would tell 20-year-old Brian that pastors are way more normal than you could ever imagine. It's like the Wizard of Oz, when you get to be like best friends with a pastor, or heaven forbid you end up being one. It's like the curtain has been pulled back and he is not what you expected him to be. No offense, dude. I don't mean to talk about you in front of you.
I got a sweet beard.
But the
like
reality,
a wizard.
But the reality is, you know, golly, do we just heap up these huge expectations, these superhuman dudes who, you know, you could talk about all the things that they don't do, all the sins that they abstain from, and then you find out that that's not exactly true. Or the things that they do, like they read their Bible 8 hours a day, and, you know, they only take breaks to pray for 2 hours, and, you know, things like that.
Oh. There's time for that.
Pastors are normal dudes. Pastors are normal dudes.
Does that really surprise you about me?
No, I mean, I can't think of any one thing that happened where I was like, oh my gosh, what is he doing? Like, I was never scandalized. Obviously, like, we've been really tight for a long time now, and we've hung out a bunch, and, like, we like the same stuff, and we do the same things, and I consider myself a normal dude, if I could play fast and loose with the word normal here. But, I remember my youth pastor in high school taking me to a Dave Matthews show. That was my first glimpse of like, oh, whoa.
Whoa.
Yeah, there were a lot of people smoking weed and these Asian dudes who were wearing socks with Birkenstocks, and they danced the exact same dance to every single Dave Matthews Band song, regardless of, you know, how fast the song was going. They did the exact same dance, the exact same speed. It was like,
because they're Japanese.
It was like, maybe they're deaf too. I don't know. I feel like that was a gratuitous detail.
That is a glorious detail.
But yeah.
Yeah, I've had so many people over the years, and you probably had this too, that are just like shocked that I'm just a normal guy. And I'm not like...
That is some of the most consistent feedback.
And I think it's pushed people away, because people want a pastor who's like, holy, you know, I mean, just like... Like walking on clouds, holy. For some reason, people want that. For the life of me, I don't get that.
Nah.
Do you?
No.
No, but people want that.
That's why I'm here.
Right.
No, but that's been the like some really consistent feedback that I've gotten as people have listened to this show. It's like, oh my gosh, like you guys, you're like normal dudes.
Yeah.
You're just sitting around talking like normal people.
Having a beer and just talking about normal stuff.
Like,
yeah.
Go figure.
Yeah, and so I don't get it, but I know people put me on a pedestal and put you on a pedestal, and sometimes, maybe a lot of times, they're really let down when they realize that we're not these, like, super, like, they want us to be Jesus almost, you know, and we're just not that. We're all in a hospital together, and we've been made well by God, and I'm just one guy who's been there a little bit longer than everybody else and knows where the good vending machine is, you know, and knows which the sweet nurse is, and knows, you know, the time of day when the good doctor, you know, I'm that, just that guy who's been there just a little bit longer, but I'm still sick. I'm still in need of constant care, constant attention. I still need the grace of God, which I know is going to be our last point. But I look at this life that we're all living as Christians, and people make it into so much more than it is. We're just people who have been made well by God and are just trying to follow Him and love Him more. That's it. Pastors are no different. Should be no different.
Yeah, there's no secret sauce.
There's none.
They expect there to be some kind of secret sauce. And like, granted, you're called. You're gifted. You're going to be able to contribute in ways that other people aren't. But that doesn't change the fact that you're a normal dude. You're a normal dude.
And you're a normal dude.
Thanks.
High five.
I never get tired of hearing that. So... Yeah, I mean, I kind of started with it for mine, if you really think about it. But yeah, and this is something that 50-year-old Brian is going to wish that he could tell 30-year-old Brian, because I know that there are ways that I still just don't understand and practice grace the way that I should.
Let the 45, no, I'm not there yet. Next week is my birthday. Let the 44-year-old Pat tell the 13-year-old Brian.
Oh, gosh. Thanks.
Grace, dude. Grace, 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 grace. Right? I mean, if we're honest, we have to end the show like this because there's nothing else either one of us would go back and tell ourselves that's more important than the grace of God. Man, quit beating yourself up. Quit trying to live up to a holy standard. Quit trying to listen to these other people who are heaping burdens upon you. Christ's yoke is easy and his burden is light.
People don't, people just skip over that. Like, seriously, I think they just skip right over that. It's like when they're going through and they're reading genealogy or something. We're like, oh, easy, light. But the Christian life is difficult and awful and terrible.
Duty.
Get ready for it. Yeah,
works.
But his
Don't
yoke
do
is
this.
Easy and his burden is light.
Law. Yeah. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. Rest, right? Rest. Hebrews chapter 4. They didn't enter into the rest of God because they didn't seek it with belief. They didn't believe the Lord. They didn't believe his word. Rest comes when we trust God and take him at his word. And grace comes when he says he's forgiven us of all of our sin, cleansed us of all of our unrighteousness, that no longer do we have to work for any righteousness at all, but we have been united to Christ. We are one with him, and we will be with him forever. And that's the message we want to not only give to you, the listener, but to one another. Me and Brian preach grace to each other all the time. We need it. You need it. Man, it is just the best thing that there is.
And I love thinking about trying to talk to your younger self about it because, like you just pointed out, 44-year-old you talking to 30-year-old me, I think that it really does seem just too good to be true. And over time, when you realize as you encounter scripture and you just really wrestle with these things and, you know, try to put them into practice and recognize how just messed up you are and how covered you are, the things that the Lord provides that you just don't deserve, the peace, just the peace that we have that we don't deserve. And over and over and over again, you think, oh, this is too good to be true. But he proves himself faithful, and you see that, oh, this is not too good to be true. This is the real deal. And still, like, as much as I feel like I could talk about this for hours at 30, I just know that in another 10, 20, 30 years, I'm just going to look back and think, dude, you just didn't even get it.
It's not too good to be true. It's thank God that it is true. It feels like too good to be true. And honestly, if we were to break it down, there's an element where we inevitably go and put our hands up and go, what kind of crazy, freaky love is this that we should be called the children of God, right? I mean, I quote that passage in 1 John 3 all the time. What kind of crazy love is this that we should be called the children of God? And really, when we think about grace, that's what we come to. But yet it's still true. It is true. It is true. It is true. And I love it. I would tell myself it. I tell everybody it. And really, it's what makes it worth belonging and believing.
So to you, the listener, I know we talked at the beginning about asking us questions so that we have things to talk about on the show. But obviously, if this is something that, you know, you're wrestling with, if anything that you hear us talking about kind of strikes a chord in your mind and you kind of just need someone to wrestle through it with you, man, we would love to talk to you about that kind of stuff. So same places to get a hold of us, but if it's not something that you want to talk about on the show, but you just need to talk to somebody about these things, please, please hit us up because we wouldn't be doing this if at the end of the day, we didn't believe that you belonged.